G'day, punters. Welcome to The Money Men this week. My name's Julian Valance, joined as always by Benny Clifton. How was the week, Benny?
Yeah, it was good, but I did realise that I never actually asked you how your week was. So how was your week?
It's really interesting you asked me that, you care about how my week was. It was good. Didn't do too much. Weather's nicer, so less mask as well. So getting out and about and trying to enjoy this Melbourne weather, mate.
That's right.
Right, Moonee Valley. Let's get in here. Thanks to Vince Arcardi sending through the times from Daily Sectionals. True entire circuit, good four, upgraded to a good three after race four. Southerly wind, which actually was a headwind into the straight, probably just maybe tempered the times a little bit, but no real impact at all. Times from Vince shows that I think they're bang on with what they've done with the track here. Good four, upgrade to good three. I think we're very critical sometimes of what the stewards do put out with the tracks. We have been with the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks. I think they got this one right. I think it's raced, probably started as a good four, and as the day's gone on, it's dried out continually. And clearly they were on a good three throughout most of the day, I think.
Yeah, the track raced brilliantly. I mean, they hadn't raced in there for a little bit, gave it a good little break. Rail True is generally the place you want to be. And I think the Moonee Valley track struggles when they have a lot of meetings in succession. They have to move the rail around because they don't have a wide track to use. And that's when you can get into trouble with a biased Moonee Valley. But it raced fantastic on set day. You could lead, you could be back in the field. It was all tempo related. And it was worth noting early in the card, they were going really hard in the races, so yep. Maybe they were thinking get to the front, that's where you want to be, but then it was pretty obvious that you could win from anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Yeah, the track played beautifully to my eyes. Let's crack on race one here. Pretty good tempo here, quarter of a second inside standard time, 24.60, 12.30, last 400, 200, so only fair compared to the rest of the day, but they did go out pretty quick. And Seb Song, well, this horse was a maiden, but it's two starts prior, got beaten by Shelby Cobra, where they went fast time, and then got beaten by Coley, where they were 3/4 second inside standard time. It was coming out of pretty good form races, even though it was a maiden. It ran right up to it, I thought.
Are you reading my notes over there?
Go on.
Okay, I picked that out too. The two maidens that was coming out of were really fast maidens, so that form does tend to hold up when you are going up in class. And the key to this horse, Jamie Carr, getting it to relax. So it did overdo it a little bit, but the rise in distance as well, and it ran straight right through the line. We've been looking for some three-year-old horses to sort of come in through the back end of the spring that could be good horses next year. I think this horse has got a chance of being a good horse.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Jamie Carr, great ride, because she had to be a little bit careful because she was sort of in a bit of trouble at the 600, but she just showed patience and thought, you know what, this race is actually going to evolve the way it did. She held, and then presented the horse when it needed to, and it did the rest. From a market perspective, Still Be Friends, $3.90 into $3.70, finished as third. Supreme Thunder, $4.50 into $3.60, so good support for that horse. Seb Song was interesting, $2.60 early doors, out to $3.50. We went back into $3, but there was bigger on the exchange, so we were actually really tight. Our trader really held onto this horse, wanted to keep it really safe, but there was much bigger out in the marketplace. You could get up to $3.60, $3.70 on the exchange at the death, so it's a little bit interesting. We were very, very tight on the horse at the death.
You did mention the SP on Supreme Thunder. It probably gives it a chance as well to be a decent horse because it took off early, gave probably Seb Song a bit of a cart into the race, and we're still battling away. Okay, two races now, really strong SP profile. Whether it was off 26 days on this occasion as well, whether they go for a break now, bring it back, it could be a decent horse. But I think mainly you'd be wanting to follow the winner out of this race.
Totally agree. Race two, again, even tempo here, got equal to standard time. 24 flat, 12.12, last 400, 200. This is a race in the past, being won by Brooklyn Hustle and Tagaloa last year. Can be a really good form race. And a horse that wins the race, Paul Ely, in essence, was a big drifter in the market, $6.50 out to $9. But the way this horse won, it's going to be able to measure up to, I think, these really good ones that we've seen prior to, say, a Blue Diamond. Well, it won't be a Blue Diamond, we'll get to that, but maybe a slipper in the future.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Godolphin are a different sort of camp in regards to the market moves on their debuts. There's not really sort of a market push for a lot of their horses. You know, that's not the way they operate. You see some other the smaller stables really set their horses up and want to have a bet, and that's where the market move comes from. But I wouldn't read too much into the drift on that horse because I think this was a really impressive win.
Oh, yeah.
Sat wide, showed a great turn of foot. He's only going to be better suited over 1,200 metres, you'd imagine. And they've got a good line on their two-year-olds too, Ingratiating, who's shown a lot early on. So I think Paul Alley, or whatever, however you pronounce it, is got a chance to be contender in the big two-year-old races.
Yeah, they've got a pretty good hay, and as you said, ingratiating. You can add Animo to that list as well that won. From a market perspective, a little bit happening here in this space. Chiati, $34 into $12, runs third. Direct, Rock Solid at $7, finishes second. Rainboy, $13 into $7.50. Debutante from the Snowden camp was well supported, finished 10th. I thought he was very poor, especially the last 200 metres. The horse we do have to mention, the early doors favourite, well, still does run favourite, Brazen Boy, $2.30 out to $4.20, finishes 8th. Led, and probably needs a 600-metre race, to be honest, because it's concerning for this horse going forward. Now, it won a trial in Adelaide by 15 lengths. Everyone jumps out of trees and goes, it's a beauty. But we saw this horse... It was actually going to debut in the Merson Cooper at Sandown. And again, it was a big drifter on the day. A horse like Forbes ran favourite, and that was the other race that Animo won. We saw it here on Saturday. The market just does not care about trials, jump outs. If you win by 10, if you win by a nose, irrelevant to the market.
Yeah, for sure. And horses who win trials by 15 lengths are either absolute superstars or hopeless. And this horse looks like it might be on the hopeless end. The Beaten Brigade, Direct was the horse I probably wanted to follow. It was outside the lead on a hot tempo, which is very hard to do. It's probably the worst place you want to be when the tempo is hot, and it stuck on really well. So it gives it a good platform next start. Maybe it can find the lead on the rail and get a softer lead, and it could be hard to run down in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I think it's a race you can follow with confidence. I agree with you. Second horse you definitely want to be with, and you definitely want to be with the winner. I think it's going to make a really nice horse. Race three, again, pretty good tempo here. Half a second inside standard time. 24.56, 12.56, last 400, last 200. So a little bit soft home, but they went out pretty quick. Just controlled this race, Will Price, on the favourite Ocean's 13. He had this race won a long way out. Good ride, positivity, and just sort of took the guts out of everything else, and they were all chasing from a long way. I will say the market had no idea. And we always want to try and work out, well, why did the market take a set against this horse? $3 out to $3.50. And I think it was the fact that Jai was off. Had some senior riders on. I think Luke Carey had ridden this horse in the past, and Will Price had gone on. Now, this is no knock on Will Price, but the market just likes sometimes to take a set against apprentice jockeys, and I think that's the reason why it took a set against this one. That's my opinion.
Yeah, for sure, because it did tick a lot of other boxes and was going to be up on the speed. I did like the ride. I think he has been struggling a little bit, Will Price, but this month he's riding at a good percentage, so 8 from his last 59, which is 14%, which is a good clip considering he was going pretty ordinary up to then. What I like about the ride is he didn't go too slow on the front row. He really ran him along, took advantage of that being up on the speed, and as you mentioned, knocked the finish out of the rest of them because they went so hard. And I thought that was a perfectly timed ride because I hate when jockeys try to go too slow. Some jockeys feel as though the slower they go, the quicker they'll come home. They'll be hard to beat. That's not the way it works, because if you're doing it that way, you need to have a bit of a turn of foot, and leaders don't generally have that sort of turn of foot of the horses back in the field.
Yep, agree. Just the other horse I want to mention from a market perspective is Low. It was $11 into $5.50 at Sportsbet. A couple of factors why you think that. Jamie Carr was in the saddle. We know that the market trends towards her. And also the blinkers went back on. So you go through 2017 onwards, Australia-wide. When blinkers go back on, you're plus 6% ROI. It's a pretty good space to play in. Obviously, we know the big guys want to play in that space, so maybe that's the reason why they backed that horse.
In regards to the overall race going forward, it's not particularly a race of the Beaten Brigade you want to be following on. I think mostly Sonny was held up a little bit, but these are a limited bunch. Maybe in a similar class, one of them could steal a race with a right run, but this isn't a race that I think will propel them forward to greater things.
I agree. I mean, they've been beaten 4 or 5 lengths, you know, by the winner, so you just got to be careful of that. Okay, race four again. Inside standard time, half a second inside, going out pretty quick again. 24.82 last 400, 12.76 last 200. You can see in red, worst of the day. They went out very, very quickly here, so you can understand why they knocked up late. This is a race where I'm a little bit worried about what to come out of it. What's your opinion on it? Re-edit wins the race, obviously. $4 into $3.30 was well backed late.
And it was set up for it. Like, they did go really hard, compared to the rest of the races over this distance. she wasn't going anywhere at the 400-metre mark. Yeah. And, you know, I think those horses tiring just allowed her to get into the race. I thought the run of the race was Ethical Solution. I mentioned sitting outside the lead on a hot tempo. This is exactly what this horse did, and it was still there to the last 50 metres. It's another horse. If you can find the lead on a slower tempo, it'll be hard to run down, I think, in the coming weeks. But overall, the race, not for mine. November Dreaming is one we should talk about.
Absolutely. Well, I was going to ask you, November Dreaming, 4 out to $4.20. Now, it was a monster performance first up, I think, at Geelong, and we all sort of went, okay, she's come back in great fettle. She's going to have a great prep. Second and third up, I think, been nothing short of plain.
Did she do it a little bit last campaign as well? She put in a couple of really good runs. You thought, oh, this horse is going to be something to follow going up in class, and then it just didn't really sort of laboured a little bit. I'm thinking maybe she's a 1,400-metre off a quick tempo horse. They keep trying to get her up over distance. Yeah. That's all I'm – I think we might be clutching at straws there. She might not be that genuine.
Yeah, I'm worried about her. Maybe she went too good first up. We see this sometimes. Horses just go too good first up. They bust themselves for the rest of the prep. But again, I'm probably trying to be forgiving of her. She's just been plain disappointing second and third up. Couldn't be with her next start
she's,
at all.
She's not one of those horses who progresses through the campaign and improves. She sort of
seems to regress.
Be interesting to see what they do with her.
Yep. Race five, this is a slowly run race. So this was probably the first race that was run at a moderate tempo, third of a second outside standard time. Ziptomo, 23.3, which was equal best last 400. There was a couple other races that were pretty good last 400, and 11.94 last 200. Well, this is an interesting race. Dominated by the horses On Speed, which were Deep Speed that led. Ocean Beyond sits outside leader. Just want to mention Daniel Bowman, 8 from his last 22, going at 36.5%. He's a trainer you can follow with supreme confidence over the next couple of weeks. He's got his horses going in great spaces at the moment. Market perspective here, Ocean Beyond, $5.50 out to $14. Outrageous. Wins the race. Huge go for Nicolino Vito, $3.20 into $2.35. Even I love the game, 7 into $6.50. And Deep Speed obviously was a drifter as well, $3.30 out to $4, run second. Unbelievable, the market just got this so wrong.
Well, you mentioned Daniel Bowman. I backed one of his horses yesterday. I think it's still running. But now he is going well. I think the story of the race is the tempo. The back markers just never got into the race. And to be honest, I think these are limited horses. I know this horse has only had two starts, hasn't done much wrong, but it's probably got the best chance.
Yeah, I like this horse. I like the winner going forward. I'm absolutely petrified of the rest. I don't know where they're going to end up.
The amount of money for Nicolini Vito was surprising for mine. It was entitled to keep finding the line. The horse on the inside fought back and got it, Pioneer River, so I'm very worried about it.
Yeah, it was poor. We'll be back after the break to dissect the last four races at Moonee Valley. Welcome back to The Money Man. We are dissecting Moonee Valley. Track raced sensationally. I think they got the track conditions right. Good four upgraded to a good three. We're going to crack on to race six here, Benny. Equal to standard time, but they didn't go overly fast out. 23.3 last 400, 11.72 last 200. So best last 400 and best last 200 of the day. And I think the race starts and stops with this winner. It was outstanding, I thought.
Yeah, they didn't, as you mentioned, they didn't go really quick early on, and it allowed her to boot through, but they did sort of step it up from the 500-metre mark, and it really tested those horses back in the field. But I think the key to this, Jamie Carr going on, getting the horse to go to another level, which she has proven the last couple of months. She has the ability to get horses to levels that they haven't seen before, and this is one here. Obviously, it was the only three-year-old in the race. The horse with the most upside, drawn a good barrier, best jockey in Victoria at the moment, ticked a lot of boxes, and the market found it.
Sure did. $4 into $2.35. Big go. Biggest go of the day at Moonee Valley by far. You spoke about that three-year-old against the older horses, went back, looked at the numbers since 2007 Australia-wide. In this 78 grade, so October, November, it's plus 4% return on your investment, so you're in a good space there. We'll do a piece on three wide no cover this week, and we'll actually go into further about December and January. But in these kind of races in the city, you want to be with these three-year-olds against the older horses, not so much in the lesser grade, but they have a great strike rate and have a great return on your investment. So look for that on three wides. Nice horse.
Yeah, there are different months throughout the year where three odds against the older horses are more profitable than others, and we'll go through that another time. But of the beaten brigade. I thought Lady Brooke was okay, coming like a long way up in class,
yep.
caught wide, battled on pretty well. And Calicani Royale, the horse who ran second, it's getting a little bit deep into its campaign now. Ran well, but it's hard to see it sort of improving into its next start when you might get horses who were targeting the summer a bit fresher on the scene, and I'd probably be siding with those sort of horses.
Yeah, fair enough. I reckon Queen Annabelle's got a win in it too. It's a horse that could probably drop to a, you know, a country race somewhere, well-placed. I think the horse is going really well, and you might get a price about it. It's a horse that the market can miss a bit, Queen Annabelle, so I wouldn't be surprised to see it bob up and run really well for it at a price. Race 7, slowly run race here, Benny. Half a second outside standard time, 24.46, 12.32, last 400, 200. So nothing flash home, and obviously they didn't go out very hard. I think this is a race that really worries me going forward. I think if you ran this race 7 or 8 or 9 times again, I don't know. One more try probably wins its fair share, but it just looked, it was a real sticky, yucky race to watch.
It's real yuck, real yuck. I mean, the horse who should have won the race was 60-1, Lamborghini.
Lamborghini. It just had no luck at all, did it? It was absolutely bolting. And then through the line, I love watching him pass the post, 100 metres, 200 metres past the post. It's, you know, got lengths on them, but it's Lamborghini. Like, it's no, so it was a horse I was looking at, that's probably your Black Booker. But you go back, the SP is 60s. Oh, it's hard to catch. It's always hard to catch.
The point you take from Lamborghini being the unlucky runner is you don't want to follow this race.
Yeah.
It's fair play to one more try, very consistent horse, and got the right run on the day and was pretty solid enough in the market. But we're looking at it from a future perspective. I'm not looking at this race as a good form line.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just from a market, one more try holds its price at $4.40 solid. The blinkers went back on, spoke about it on 3 Wide. So this is a horse I think you can follow next prep. It probably goes for a break now. You'll see the blinkers will probably come off the first 2 or 3 runs. Wait for the blinkers to go back on. It just seems to be a spike horse when those blinkers go back on, so look for it. I thought Stars of Karen was okay first up. Don't be surprised to see it go to a Bagot or something like that on New Year's Day. $13 into $7. Look, I was on it, so from a betting perspective, I was disappointed that it doesn't win, but I thought it was okay from a prep perspective.
What about your theory of not following sort of unlucky runners back in the field in bad races?
Yeah, I agree with that, but I just think it's probably going to be right. These horses will probably end up running against each other for the next fortnight and then the next month. They'll all probably have their turn, but I think Stars of Karen might be the one that might have the fitness. A horse like Bartholomew Diaz, I'm worried about it going forward because it's at peak fitness now and I think that's its level. It doesn't have the next step in it.
Yeah, it was sort of had a little bit of a boom on it, or there was a little bit of a rap on it, and it hasn't lived up to that at all.
Race 8, moderate tempo, but they got equal to standard time here. Again, 23.30 last 400, 11.94 last 200, so pretty good. We know that 23.3 was, I think, replicated by a couple other races last 400. Grand Avenue sits outside leader, which was Sartorial Splendor, and gives these horses, to be honest, an absolute spanking. It put the writing on the wall. I think it was only a 4-horse field or a 5-horse field where it knocked off the short price favourite in Meteorite. Well, it backed it right up. 1,000 metres, 4 from 13, 2 from 4 at the Valley. You speak about the Valley being a track where you want to be in good spaces there. Well, this horse is right at that.
Well, it's horses for courses at the Valley. It's also a 1,000-metre horse, yep. Which a couple of other horses in this race weren't. And it absolutely flying. Only 7 starts ago, it was winning a benchmark 64. It has come a long way in a short time. And there's nothing to say it won't. It'd probably go for a spell now, maybe. If they press on, there's probably still a little bit left in the tank. Coruscate's the horse I want to talk about. The first two wins this campaign were 1,200 metres.
Correct.
Back to 1,000 metres. It's not a 1,000-metre horse.
No, it's not.
1,000-metre races are run at different tempos to 1,100, 1,200-metre races. They're a different beast altogether, even though they're quite close in distance range, but they just run at different tempos and don't suit some horses, and Coruscate's one of them for mine.
Yeah, I think it'll probably go to the Boxing Day race, those Christmas Stakes, the 1,200-metre race. I think it's going to be better suited there, so I wouldn't be dropping off it. Prezzato, 480 out to $6.50. I thought that was a pass mark first up, just the inside gate wasn't its go. It gets to Flemington, it's going to be competitive in whatever it runs in, and Prophet's Thumb, well, that's just her. She's $8 into $5. Market finds her, but inside gate, she finds trouble. That's just her. Yeah, it's just always going to be a low percentage play Prophet's Thumb. She'll win one, but the amount of times that she wins ones to the time she gets beat doesn't stack up.
She's a low percentage play, but you are an absolute pig for it.
I am, because I think she's going really well. If she draws 9, maybe she makes it interesting. I will say Grandview Avenue is far too good. She just has to get the right barrier, but she needs too many things in her favour. And we talk about this a lot. You want to play in spaces where it's high percentage play, and as you say, she is a low percentage play. She always will be. But she will win a race because she's going really well, but she's going to lose a lot more than she wins.
Yeah, you've been following her a long time. You'll jump off and she'll win.
I know that. Of course she will. Yeah, absolutely. It's the way it goes. Last race, they've gone very quick here, but they've gone half a second outside standard time, which really worries me about this going forward. 24.86 last 400, worst of the day, and 12.60 last 200. Bandersnatch first up off 140 days, in for a very good prep. Well done to Will Price. Outside of it, I'm really worried about this race. This race is on our database. We've rated this race poorly going forward, Benny.
Yeah, there were a couple of unlucky runners in there, but there's. I want to compare Hussay and Overkill. So Hussay was the unlucky flashing lights run, getting back in the field, running on, tempo suited it. I don't want to be with it.
Yep.
It's getting deep into a campaign.
Yeah,
it was entitled to run on. The horse I want to follow is Overkill. Outside the lead on a really quick tempo, still batting away at the end, only really close to the winner. I think Overkill's the horse to follow. Off 31 days, I think he's ready to go next start.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout. So third up somewhere, I reckon you'll be looking for Overkill. You're right. I agree with that entirely. We'll be back after the break. Trash and Treasure. Back with the Money Men, Trash and Treasure. What's going to the curb, Benny?
November Dreaming for mine. We don't know what sort of horse she is. She's very inconsistent. She might be a fresh horse. She might be a 1,400 metres off a quick tempo, but they keep trying to step her up in distance, and I don't think she's appreciating it. So she's very hard to follow. She's an enigma of the highest order.
Fair enough, and she's always at the pointy end of the market, so I think she's best to be avoided. For me, big margin trial winners. The market just doesn't have any relevance to these at all. We saw this with Brazen Bow, $2.30 out to $4.20. We saw it, obviously, at Sandown. It gave us a great lead before it got scratched the barriers. They might end up superstars, but it's very, very rare you're winning by 15 lengths. Sometimes you get sold offshore, and that's a great play by the trainers to be able to do that as well, to be able to get them to Hong Kong and Asia for a pretty good price off winning a big trial. But from a market perspective and the space that we play in, I'm just speaking purely from that perspective, be very, very worried about.
Well, it's always an advantage to favour raced horses over good trialers, and I think that proves itself week in, week out.
Yep, absolutely. Treasure, what do you got for me?
Horses sitting outside the lead on a hot tempo. I've got three horses to follow from this meeting who sat outside the lead, really battled on really well, because it's the worst possible spot you want to be.
Yep.
Direct, Ethical Solution, and Overkill, three horses to follow. Got a good platform to win next start.
Yeah, agree with that. Jamie Carr, she just goes in there every week. She's just outstanding. If she can stay healthy up into next year, she will be winning the Melbourne Jockey Premiership. She's a star.
She is a star. Godolphin two-year-olds for me, we're proven it with Ingratiating. Paul Lally was very impressive on Saturday. I think they've got a good benchmark for their horses now, so they know where to place them. Paul Lally, not nominated for the Blue Diamond, but he's going towards the Golden Slipper.
Absolutely. Animo, did you mention Animo?
Didn't mention
it. Yeah, Animo's another one as well. Obviously beat Forbes. It's a nice horse going forward. Production crew, obviously for the Money Men, Ollie Jones, Nathan, John, Ty Newman. Who else have I left
there? Sarah.
Out? Sarah, thank you.
Tommy Kneebone.
Ian Parrish, all those guys, appreciate it. Jace with the audio, outstanding effort. Obviously, this is a show that we started this year. This is our last show for the year. We appreciate everything those guys do, obviously, with Insider Trading and this show to get this off the ground. So we're very, very privileged to work with a great team. The other part is we'll be back next year, January 18, obviously, unless one of us moves on and does some other things with some challenges that happen in our world. But we've really appreciated the viewers, and I will say, Benny, the viewers have been really good in terms of them saying they actually appreciate the show. It's something that we think, what we want to hear from punters, something that you can't see in the form book. So that's what we're trying to do. We love your feedback. It's really helped with, obviously, Insider Trading and the Money Men.
And I'll be back with a new nose next season.
Oh, my gosh. Cannot wait for that. So thanks, everyone, for listening to the Money Men. We'll be back next year, January 18, where we'll do it all again on this station.